Hello, Georgia educators. We invite you into a new episode of Classroom Conversations, presented jointly by the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia Public Broadcasting. Classroom Conversations is the platform for Georgia's teachers, and I am the woman who gets to participate in this eye-opening teacher talk as your host. I'm Ashley Mingwasser, and right now, I want you to go on a mental vacation with me, shall we? I want you to close your eyes, unless you are driving, walking, or hot tooling your hair. Accidents can happen in all of these scenarios. Breathe in and imagine yourselves at a beachy resort. Waves are crashing, water birds diving, something chilled is in your hand. You feel the juxtaposition of warmth on your face, and you don't even need your wallet as you watch the surf, because I'm upping the ante here. This resort vacation, it's all inclusive. Doesn't that phrase just multiply the goodness? Every experience at an all-inclusive resort is so surprisingly personalized. Have you ever noticed that? There are classrooms like this, you know, classrooms where all students are learning. All students, that's a phrase we'll be repeating today, where the learning is personalized to the learner. Today, let's explore STEM and STEAM and the shared environment where everyone gets a tailored approach so that STEAM is possible for all students. My guests today make STEM and STEAM accessible and inclusive for all their students at Pine Ridge Elementary School, part of Harris County Schools in Ellerslie, Georgia. In 2020, Pine Ridge Elementary received STEAM certification from the Georgia Department of Education, including special education students in their presentation to DOE. We're going to hear about that. Teachers Lindsay Cook and Abby Hudson are classroom neighbors over at Pine Ridge. Lindsay teaches second and fourth grade resource, which is reading, ELA, and math special education. And Abby teaches kindergartners. Both are in the Decade Club, meaning they've both taught for around 10 years, and both have earned their master's. Welcome to the podcast, Lindsay and Abby. How are you?
Great.
Great.
Yeah, we're great. Great. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. Are you ready for this all-inclusive podcast experience?
Absolutely.
That's what I like to hear. How long have you been teaching special education, Lindsay?
I have been teaching special education for 3 years now.
3 years.
And I taught kindergarten for six.
Okay. All right. So you had a bit of a past life
there.
That's
right.
How long have you been teaching, Abby?
I've had 10 years at Pine Ridge. Two of them have been in pre-K and the rest in kindergarten.
Okay. All right. You guys have quite the seasoned gifts in the classroom. We're going to hear about that today. What is something, though, most people might not know about students at your age or ability level? Tell us something surprising about them. What about for your kindergartners?
I would think that kindergarten students would want people to know that they just want to be kids and want to be little. Aww. And they want the fun in school and to be given those opportunities to explore the world naturally.
That's a good tip. Lindsay, what about your special education students?
I think mine, it's important to know that they all learn in different ways.
Okay.
So having to know the kids well enough to learn how to teach them, and that what they strive off of depends on that.
Yeah. You both are so observant of and dedicated to your students. What led you to the classroom to begin with? How'd you get into education? Was it you, Abby, who was told you look like a teacher?
I was told by an academic advisor at Columbus State University that you just look like a teacher. And I was like, let's do it.
If it were only that easy.
There's something about the face, just the sweet. And then whenever I mention that I'm a teacher, it's, oh, so it's kindergarten. And yes,
yes.
Just a kindergarten teacher looking face.
Everybody knows you were destined for it. What about you, Lindsay? What's your story?
I feel like all kids for a long time, teachers are the only career they know.
So it was true.
One of those growing up, I was like, I want to be a teacher because I know my teachers and I love my teachers.
Yeah.
And so then in high school, our high school provided a teacher education program that I went through where we did some observational type things and went into elementary school classes in high school. And I was like, this is what I want to do.
Look at you. I did it. You
so
found your way
found
right to this podcast
That's
experience.
Right.
Did you ever know your teaching was going to land you here?
No.
No.
Even walking in, we were like, wow, we're doing this.
Yeah, you are. Pinch yourself. You're celebrities. What do you do in your spare time when you're not educator celebrities? Do you have spare time?
Barely. I always say, like, my classroom is my second home, but sometimes my first home. Huh? Like, we're there so much. But I have a daughter and I have a dog, so they take up all the rest of my time.
Yes. The dog in particular, right? Mm-hmm. What's your dog's name?
His name is Cooper. He's an Aussie doodle. He is much bigger than we anticipated him being. He was only supposed to be about 45 pounds, and he is now 68.
He is just an overachiever.
Just full of life, too.
It sounds busy at your house. Abby, what do you do in your spare time?
I'm a mom in my spare time. I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. And bringing just the creativity to childhood in general is, I feel like, just my hobby. Each summer we have a theme. Last year's theme was a Disney theme. And we had Magical Mondays where we virtually rode rides and we had snacks and just bringing the creativity to my children's childhood.
That's awesome.
I love it.
You're the one who picked up on kids just want to be kids and have fun.
Absolutely.
So you're multiplying that spirit at home. Are you maybe a bit of a big kid yourself?
Yes, in high school, a drama geek.
Yeah.
So anything that I could add in to just a little spark, the magic.
Yeah, bring the enthusiasm.
That's right.
Have either of you ever been on an all-inclusive trip?
Mm-hmm.
You have? Okay, yep. Tell me about it.
Mine's more of cruises, Disney cruises. There you go.
You've been on a Disney
cruise. I've been on a couple.
Is it as good as they say?
Oh, it's amazing. It's magical.
Did you meet my favorite Princess Belle?
She's my favorite, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. No, I didn't get to meet Belle, but I did bump into Cinderella. And while I felt awful, she was just very poised and graceful about it.
Even with one shoe, she was great.
I didn't check her feet, but.
Okay. That is an all-inclusive experience.
Yes. Love it.
What was that like, being on a ship and having everything handled? It's all in your ticket fee, so you're not thinking about it. It allows you to vacate, right?
Absolutely.
That's the best thing.
It's calming to know that everything's taken care of and that I don't have to run 0 to 100 like I do in the classroom or at home trying to get things done. Everything else is taken care of for me.
And what little things, I love an all-inclusive experience, did they tailor just for you in your cabin?
The little towel animals, making them fun.
Oh, yeah.
When it was my honeymoon, strawberries and the champagne.
The Disney cruise was for your honeymoon?
No, a different one.
Oh, okay. Interesting honeymoon choice.
That would have been great, though.
She's been on a bunch of cruises. All right, Lindsay, have you been on an all-inclusive experience?
Yes.
What was yours?
We went to Jamaica. We went to Montego Bay, Jamaica in October of 2020 for our honeymoon. And it was a strange situation because it was in the height of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to do all the testing and all the paperwork and all that to even get to go. And I will say it was only occupying 20% capacity at the time. So it was like real all-inclusive for
us. Oh, yeah. So you guys got the extra
treatment. A lot of like individualized special treatments just because there wasn't that many people there. So it was really amazing.
And was it the trip of a lifetime?
Yes.
My point exactly.
Yes.
And that education in the classroom can feel like the lesson of the lifetime, the moment of a lifetime for students when you are tailoring to them. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I know that your school is STEM STEAM certified. I talked about that in the beginning. Your presentation to the DOE was special. Tell me how.
I believe it was special because we included all of our students. There was just this warm environment that we have created that welcomed everyone, even the guests that appeared. And I think that was very special to have just that warm, welcoming environment.
And I hear that this is unusual to have such a representative experience of your students going and presenting to the DOE. So that's a good milestone. Anything to add there?
I think another thing that made it so special is with the partnerships that we've had within our school for the past several years, kids were used to seeing adults and people in and out of our school. So having these important people
did not faze them.
No, they were just like, this is every day for us. So it wasn't some special day where it's like, be on your best behavior. You got to do everything right, because that's what they've been used to. They've been used to all these adults coming in and interacting in partnerships with our school. So it was just a normal day when we had our big certification day.
Yeah, a testament to you. They were prepped for such a moment.
They were.
Whenever you have a kindergartner opening up a door for a very important person and saying, welcome to our classroom, like a 5 or 6-year-old doing that, it's just magical.
Yeah, that's a pinch yourself.
Yes.
That is incredible, actually. And just the ownership that exemplifies. What was the thought process when your school, Pine Ridge, began to include all students? And what do we mean when we say all students?
I think this is a hard question for us because it's always been all.
It's always been all
for us. There's never any like separation between our special education kids and our general ed kids. I think it's just everybody, we always say our classroom doors are always rotating because we just have so many kids and so much movement in our school that there's never, oh, those kids are leaving because they need extra help, or they're going in and out of the classroom all throughout the day for special activities like news broadcasting that we do and stuff. So it's never separation between, oh, they're leaving to go do this. It's everybody's moving. All kids are all kids. There's never a question of, oh, these are those and those are these.
Good.
Everybody's everybody.
You got very Dr. Seuss on me just there, Lindsay.
It can rhyme
anytime. These are those and those are these. And the personalized learning, which we'll hear more about, this is standards-based, meeting the students where they are. Is that where that comes from?
We sit down and we look at our standards and we realize or figure out what PBL, or since we're from a rural area, our county decided to focus on agriculture. So what, at the beginning, it was what kind of agriculture components can we bring into our building? So since I teach kindergarten, we have chickens. So bringing just that into it.
That's perfect. Bringing that into your classroom,
right,
the environment that you're in. So that's how you determine your PBL projects. You look at your surroundings. You see what's relevant to your learners. Do students ever influence those decisions, those PBL choices?
They do? Pretty much guide everything.
Really?
So it's like when we come up with the teachers behind the scenes, come up with what we hope is going to be our PBL or kind of the direction we're going in. But it's the questions the kids ask that they're like, oh, that's a fabulous question. Why don't we investigate on that? And that kind of just really leads to all the problems that go on the school. I know when the chickens came to our school, it was, where are we going to put these guys?
Yeah.
We need to figure out what's going to be a spot that's not too populated during recess time and things like that. And so it was the kids that went out every day and found places around the school that they thought were going to be the best place. And they collected data based off of the sunlight and what was going to be shaded and not shaded. So it was all based off of their questions and their thinking.
Their curiosity led the mission. Are there other projects in school that you'd like to share with me? Like the chickens that you're working on?
First grade has gardening beds. As of right now, they're like the raised type that they are working with. Second grade is pollinators. Third grade at one point was water and solar. And then fourth grade is aquaponics. We have a fish tank in the hallway that's inside of a wall that they take care of and they grow vegetables on the top of.
They're talking about energy, solar energy in elementary school?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I'm going to sign up for the STEAM program. This is important. How do they present their findings from all the data they collect?
My favorite part that they show their findings is our interactive walls or wall displays. So like with kindergarten, we have a wall display that has a calendar. And so whenever it's your class's day to go out and check on the chickens, you come back with a sticky note and you write, how many eggs did you find? You put it on the calendar. That way, whenever, let's just say it's not my chicken day, I can go out there.
Not my chicken
day. Isn't that funny to say it's not my chicken day? But whenever I go out there to the hallway, I can see, oh, they laid 3 eggs yesterday, and I can go back to my STEAM journal and add to it. And just seeing that you can walk up and down the hallway, even though I don't teach first grade, I know exactly what data first grade is collecting.
From looking at the wall?
From looking at the interactive walls that the children are changing and editing it daily.
Ongoing. Mm-hmm. Do they collaborate with each other when they work on this?
They do.
Yeah. So a lot of, because our whole school is based around agriculture, a lot of our PBLs and our investigative research we do, they cross over between grade levels. Third grades, they were working on solar energy and they were talking about they were doing rain barrels at some time. I can't remember what their investigative research is. The rain they were collecting in the rain barrel provided water to our chickens and they provided water to the gardens. Everything crosses over. We do reading buddies and stuff like that too, but we do STEAM buddies within the reading buddies, share their STEAM journals with each other and the data they're collecting within their projects, and then the kindergarten gets to talk to their fourth grade buddies about what they're doing. So a lot of interaction.
That's excellent. So you've mentioned STEAM journals. Now I need to know what these are. So how do they present through these STEAM journals? Tell me how they're using them. And then tell me how you modify for your special education students. Lindsay, what's the STEAM journal about?
I like to refer to STEAM journals as your personal diary. It is your diary for your educational journey. I can put all of my thoughts about a lesson, or I can go in there and creatively and express the way that I've learned through a lesson. One of my favorite conversations this past year was we were talking about natural and man-made things. And so we went outside and we did a hunt for natural man-made things. And
when I was imagining everybody with little rifles, but you meant a different kind of hunt. You meant a different kind of hunt.
I'm sorry. No, we went outside and we just explored outside, like things that were man-made and natural. And this student of mine, she drew her headphones for her Chromebook. And I was like, is this natural or man-made? She said, it's man-made because they made these for me. And so having that like conversation with her, like I knew I was like, she's got the standard. She understands it. Like
she understood the question.
So they get to use them for data collection, whatever their PBL is. And then they also use it daily with different lessons. We'll just say, okay, pull out your STEAM journal and journal what you thought about, what you learned about, or things like that.
They reflect on their own about the information in their journals. And who gets one?
Everyone. Every student gets one.
Oh, wow.
And they will work at their own pace. They do what they are comfortable with. And going back to the idea that it's a diary. So if we sit here and we think about our childhood diary,
yeah,
I would never give you my diary and expect you to be like, well, this grammar's wrong.
Or yes, you should have spelled it this way. But I would totally do that because I was an English major. So,
well, in STEAM journals, we would never do that to them. That's their thoughts. That's their learning. That's their ideas. We're not going to touch that. We'll have the conversation with them. Oh, tell me what you learned and tell me what you did. It's their individualized, personalized way of getting out what they've learned about a
processing,
lesson.
Reflecting. Yes, it's unedited. It's their own. Mm-hmm. So on to the modification and accommodations piece, Lindsay, for your special ed students. First, help us understand a little bit about the demographic of your special ed students. And then let's talk about how you've adapted STEAM journals for them.
Yeah, so my kids, most of them just have a learning delay or a learning disability. So it's just something that's blocking them from maybe learning at the same pace as their other peers in the general ed classroom. So as far as what they do in their STEAM journal is no different. Like Ms. Hudson said, we don't grade it. We look at it to see if they're on the right track or just to make sure that they're putting some things down, their thoughts. But if they rather draw a picture than write, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We're not grading spelling. We're not grading punctuation and grammar and things like that. So it's already modified and they're creating their own accommodations to what they can do. Mm-hmm. So there's no guidance really besides, hey, why don't you just journal? Why don't you reflect? Tell us what you learned. Tell us what you thought about it. We'll check it to make sure they're not too far off. But as far as checking for anything for grades or anything like that, we're just making sure that they are on the right track and can get something down on paper. So if they rather draw a picture or they want to draw tally marks instead of writing the number, that's completely up to them. They create their own pace in their own journals, which is really nice.
It's not about correct, incorrect. It's about inspired.
That's
is there
right.
a spark here that
yes.
I'm seeing in your work? Yeah. How do your special ed students ever inform the general ed students' work? Do you see some crossover there?
This is what's amazing about STEM is it's all integrated. So although they might be coming out of their general ed classroom for specific times of the day, they're going back in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working along with their peers, doing the same things, collecting the same data. They're not missing out on anything because of the way the integration works with STEAM. They might be in my room for reading and we're working on specific IEP goals and things like that, but they're in their classroom and they're talking about solar panels and they're talking about just whatever they're learning in science and the integration between it all. So they're never missing out on anything.
Yeah.
So they're collaborating with their peers just the same as any other student would collaborate with theirs.
That's wonderful.
And since the Gen Ed works so closely with the special education department, we already know what accommodations that student would need.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never sit there and push a child to write a sentence when I know they're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they can produce yet. I'm looking for a word, a letter, a picture. So knowing that we have had that conversation before and knowing what I could expect, that's helpful too.
Have you seen positive effects on school-wide climate because of the integrative nature of STEAM? Yes, Abby?
I think you've mentioned a few minutes ago about the pride, the sense of pride. Whenever
yeah.
my kindergarten student opened up the door.
Ownership.
They own their learning. They take up pride. There's a sense of pride. There's also a sense of being excited to learn and being excited to be at school.
Gosh, I love that.
When the little kids come in holding their eggs that they collected from the chicken coop, it's just the cutest thing. First grade students, they're growing loofahs and taking those loofahs home and cleaning. They're not doing too much with them, but it's just so cute to see how much they're learning from something that we think is so basic.
Yeah.
It's not basic to them. It's so important to them.
Yeah. It's life and mind altering for their benefit. Let's talk about the A in STEAM, the arts. How does arts integration work into your students' knowledge acquisition? How are you working in the arts to this stuff? I've heard a lot of science.
Yeah. So arts is definitely equally important in STEAM. We have an amazing connections. We call them connections. So that's our art and music teachers and stuff like that. Again, with their little STEAM journals, so their little diaries, and they travel everywhere with them. So if they're going to art class, they're taking their STEAM journal with them.
Okay.
They're going to music, their STEAM journal's going with them. And we have such good collaboration with our connection teachers that we're planning with them. We have at least one or two days during the year that we sit down, we all look at the art standards, we look at academic standards, and we're integrating those. We're figuring out how we can make this work. So we're doing arts in the classroom. They're doing art, they're doing science, they're doing everything in their classrooms too. So it's just this like revolving door of
It's all interconnected.
That's right.
Even just the fact that they are journaling about their art experiences in their STEAM journal, the physical presentation that it's all in one book, shows how connected it all is.
Yes.
What do you have to add to that?
That we have fantastic partners in ED where we are. In Harris County, we are always say we're very fortunate that we have a great community. And the fact that we can lean on each other whenever it comes to your strength is theater, your strength is art. And we pull them in and we receive training from them. The kids receive like classes from these people who that's their area of expertise. So relying on the community to come in and be a partner with us and take on that role of ownership of, it takes a village. It really does take a village.
Mm-hmm. And you have one.
We have a fantastic one. Lindsay and I were talking about the fact that we are products of Harris County. We graduated from Harris County High School.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I'm a little older than she is, but we graduated from Harris County High School. We are homegrown Harris County teachers.
Yeah.
And that alone, to know that you've got people in your system that there's an emotional connection there.
Yeah, it makes it all the sweeter.
Yes, it does.
When you're working with your kindergartners, Abby, have you ever seen them do anything funny or surprising with their STEAM journals along the way? Anything blow your mind out there?
Let's see.
If you can think of anything, Lindsay,
I think just their drawings, let alone.
Really?
It's like they're trying to sometimes just draw things off of memory, especially in the early months of kindergarten where they haven't quite formed letters and how to write words and stuff. And their little drawings of like their chickens or their earth materials or whatever topic we're talking about. It's just, they're just cute.
Oh.
Like, are you sure that's a chicken? Like,
huh? They know what it is.
Okay.
As adults, I think that we want organization. And we've got tabs and just like, organization makes me happy.
Right.
But with a kindergartner, whenever you say, turn it to the next blank page, and then that turns out to be the back of the book, and we've skipped 50 pages in the middle. But it really doesn't matter because I'm sure like that's organized in their mind. It's working for them. And then they can go back and be like, oh, well, this is when we were talking about how many eggs we received in October, or this is whenever we were talking about why the length of day affects their laying habits. And I get it's exciting that they can pull that from memory.
Yeah. What have you learned from and about your students in this process?
I've learned to be patient. No, I think I've learned, again, back to what I was saying earlier, they all have their own individual style. They all have their own individual personal style, but also learning style. And I think the key thing in those first few months of school is really learning their interests. What's going to kind of spark their learning, and how can we relate those to what they're required to learn?
Yeah.
So if I need to talk about letters and I need to associate that with frogs, if that's somebody's interest, we're going to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to give them pictures of frogs with letters. I think that's what I've learned the most from my kids is you got to learn them first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the key things to wanting them or asking them to do what you want them to do.
Learning them to help them learn.
Form that relationship.
I've learned that they can ask really good questions. Like, even though we're 5 and 6 years old, like, we have really amazing questions whenever we're interested in something and when they have that sense of pride. And they're a lot braver too. Mm-hmm. For a kindergartner to walk up to a fourth grader and say, our chickens are doing so, and this is how it could help you out. And that's a big deal. Or I remember a student had wrote a letter to the principal and about like why we should study rocks at one point. And I never would have written a letter to my principal.
A future geologist.
Yeah. Like he wanted to study rocks and he was going to persuade her.
Advocate to get some rock curriculum.
Rock study.
Yes. Excellent. That is wonderful. And what I've learned from listening to you talk about your students and what they're retaining with their experiences is that having a STEAM certified school has brought the spark mm-hmm. back to the learning. And you can't bottle that. Yeah. It just proliferates and proliferates. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
I think the fact that the kids don't realize they're learning is what's so fun about it. It's they don't realize that we're talking about earth materials. We're talking about the needs of plants. We're talking about what is a pollinator. And they don't realize that they're learning because it's fun.
It's wonders
they're
of the
outside,
world.
They're exploring. They're doing things. They're manipulating things that they've never manipulated before. They've never, probably some kids have never touched an egg. They've never touched a plant. They've never done those type of things. And they have no clue that they're learning.
Right. Most of them have only manipulated their parents, right? That's all they know, the
and
little
their
ones.
Teachers.
Yeah.
Back to what you were saying, Abby, the young kids, the 5-6-year-olds, conversations with them, that should be a show. Because kids are fascinating.
Oh, and they're hilarious.
Yes.
They're absolutely hilarious. I use a lot of hand gestures in my classroom because I find that helps me to learn. And so teaching them these dances that we have, like to show them what we are learning. And for them, when we were getting STEAM certified, two of my students were recorded doing those dances. And the news crew that was there, they were fascinated because they were explaining what they had learned through just these simple movements and listening to them conversate about what they've learned. And sometimes you have to remind them, this is social studies class now. Like they have no idea they're learning.
I love it. I love that all-inclusive is the only way at your school. You can't even imagine there being a different way. It's so integrative. How can we sum up your message today in a simple phrase for our teachers listening?
I think, to me, one of the most important parts about STEAM is allowing the kids to be able to express their learning in a different way. Some of them might need to draw it and really pull in the art. Some of them might be better at pulling in the technology side of it. It's not an expectation of you need to do this test to show your learning. You can talk about it. You can, like I said, draw. There's so many different ways to express their learning. And I think that's what drives the STEAM is there's no pinpoint of you've got to do it this way. You've got to do it that way. And I think the kids being able to express it how they feel comfortable, especially my kids. They might not be able to write 2 paragraphs about what they've learned, but they can draw it or they can tell me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because there's no guideline to how STEAM looks or how STEAM works.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important part for me.
Yeah. They can still participate in STEAM.
Yes.
The conversation that I mentioned earlier about the man-made item with the headphones. Imagine how many conversations that are happening like that around the building now, mm-hmm. whereas a worksheet wouldn't be able to tell you that.
No.
A worksheet would just be able to tell you, I can cut and I can glue and I can color. But being able to sit down and talk about what she drew, and she had 2 letters to represent headphone. It was H and F. Great. I can hear it. But knowing that I had that conversation with that student, and there's other teachers in my same building having those same conversations with those students of, well, I know that she's got it now, mm-hmm. instead of she didn't pass this paper or I'm going to send this home. And like it really shows the more positive side.
And the evidence is there, to use a science word. The evidence is there mm-hmm. in her journal that she's grasping it. I think my takeaway message would be, don't be rude. Include.
Yes.
How about that?
That.
Yeah. There's no reason to think about it any other way. No. Just let students find their access point and support them in that. You two are making your students feel so glowy, so capable, giving them this all-inclusive experience. Thank you, Lindsay and Abby, for making STEAM accessible for all students.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you two being here today. Teachers, you heard it here first. The shared environment is truly the pinnacle, and your students can feel right there at the top in their learning milestones with you. You're a great teacher. Seriously, who is letting our little resort thought experiment become an action item? It's time to vacation browse. I'll wait to board any planes, though, because we're back in the studio next week for a brand new episode of Classroom Conversations. As you set those travel alerts, set them for our podcast series, too, and follow Classroom Conversations. I'm Ashley. Goodbye for now. Funding for Classroom Conversations is made possible through the School Climate Transformation Grant.